This podcast is a member of the Place to Be Nation family. Visit us at placetobenation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world.
Welcome to the Kings of Sport, the program that's changing the game one show at a time, with your hosts, Nate Milton.
Yes! That boy's good!
And Marcus Vandenberg.
Let's say!
So sit back and relax, because you're now down with the Kings.
And welcome to the Kings of Sport, the program that's changing the game one show at a time, a.k.a. the world's most dangerous sports show, a.k.a. iTunes' longest-running weekly episodic sports podcast produced and hosted by two or more African-Americans that are not affiliated with a major network. As always, it is the Godfather Nate Milton and Marcus Vandenberg coming at you with sports and fun, and if you're not careful, you may learn something before you're done. How you doing, Marcus?
What's up, man? Long time no talk.
Yeah, man. It's going to be an interesting episode of the show. It's going to be a little bit shorter than usual, or a lot shorter than usual, a little less sports intensive, but we're setting you up for next week. Next week, we got a big show. We'll tell you about that a little bit later on, but it's been an interesting week.
How's your, well, it's been 2 weeks now, because we didn't do a live show, per se, last week.
Yeah.
And then this week we're a little late because I've been gone again. So I'm back home though.
Yeah, Marcus going to New York and Toronto and then going to Vegas for the big announcement from Dana White.
Yeah, we'll touch on that.
Well, yeah, it's been pretty interesting. My week has been pretty good. I don't know if you heard, Marcus, but according to AOL Sports, I am at least the 50th best unsigned sportscaster in the country.
So you finished, well, explain the contest. I guess people might not know what exactly went down this week.
Yeah, there is a competition, if you will. It's the AOL Sports Search, and Marcus sent me the link. I guess it was probably Saturday last week.
It was either Friday night or Saturday. It was Friday night, I think.
Friday night, yeah. It was Friday night because I started working on my submission Saturday. And basically, there were two phases. You could either do a video submission where you put together a two-minute piece, either doing a sports cast or giving a take on a story or, you know, basically saying why AOL should pick you for this contest. Or you could go to one of the live auditions in New York or L.A., and it was a two-day thing. And apparently, man, auditions were packed. There were a lot of submissions sent online, and they whittled it down to a top eight, and then from a top eight to a top five, and now they finally got a winner, somebody that Marcus has a connection to. And for the video submissions, they picked, I guess, the 50 best and left them up on the homepage for the AOL Sports. So if you go there now, you will see my submission on the AOL Sports page. And I think we also tweeted it out. We retweeted it at the King of Sport Twitter, KOSPOD, KOS_POD. So it was a very interesting contest. And like I said, Marcus, you have a connection to the winner.
Yeah, a couple things about this. First off, congrats to Nick Cregan, who won the contest. Nick is also in NABJ, which is the National Association of Black Journalists. So he
speak for yourself. All his congrats. I see what it is. They see
light skin gotta sit together, man.
It's not about black or white anymore. They going with the light skins over the medium skins. I feel a certain type of way about this particular decision.
Yellow versus brown. What can brown do for you?
Apparently nothing. Not a damn thing to AOL Sports.
The thing I was really confused about is I sent you that link Friday night. That link went live Friday night.
And yeah, it
this
a lot
whole
of time.
Thing was done in a week. It was done less than a week.
Yeah, because you sent me the link Friday night. I did my first draft of my video Saturday night and put it up on Facebook and got some suggestions. And then Sunday night, I made the final cut of my submission. And then Monday, they had the live auditions in New York and L.A. They got finalists. And then Tuesday, they had like a trivia challenge and some other things that went down on both coasts. And then I guess Wednesday afternoon, we got the winner.
Yeah, so I didn't really understand why it was such a rush. And even if you wanted to go to New York, Nate, that's kind of hard. You find out Friday night, and then you have to try to book travel to get there by Monday. It's like, that's not really fair to people outside of the two big cities.
No, and I'm not taking anything away from Nick, because I did see his submission. I did see him on the live feed that they had up for those 2 days at AOL Sports, and he's good. I think him and another guy would be my two choices to win. But there was a built-in advantage if you lived in New York or L.A. Because you could just make it to the auditions.
And the other thing I don't know about is, I know once he got into like the finalist position, he started sending emails out to our listserv. So how did they determine the winner? Was it based on the judges or based on fans voting?
I think what it was is they had, I think it was two or three judges that made the pick from AOL, and then the fans got a vote too.
Okay.
So it was a combination between fan votes and the judges' pick. And because at one point, Nick was, I think, in fourth place. And then by the time the fan voting ended, I think he was either one or two with the guy from Houston, Theo, I think his name was. The guy that I thought was good.
He's also in NABJ.
Theo's in NABJ too?
Yes.
Wow.
Which made for some awkward emails, because Nick was the first one to start soliciting people on the serve. And then someone had to chime in and say, hey, don't forget about such and such. He's also a member of NABJ.
Yeah.
So.
And Theo is, if you hadn't seen Theo, Theo was out in Houston, and I guess he went to Hampton University. But Theo was dark-skinned. So you had
the other HU, by the way.
The other HU,
because Hofstra is number one.
So you had the classic light-skinned, dark-skinned, interracial or intra-racial battle right there, and light-skinned won out, as usual.
What was the makeup of the other two finalists?
Actually, I was surprised at the diversity. There was you had Nick and Theo, black, obviously. You had two girls. One was a sister and one was a white girl. And then there was a white guy. So your final five was a pretty diverse group.
All right. That's good to hear.
Yeah. So I got to say, though, now that I didn't win, I don't know about you, Marcus, but I was surprised that AOL still had a sports department.
Yeah, about that. I didn't know AOL was still a thing, period. But
yeah, man.
Yeah, they're still around. They're still kicking. Full disclosure, I used to work at AOL a long time ago. But yeah, that's I'm not sure what exactly AOL Sports is bringing to the table, but good for Nick.
Yeah, he's got a show, and it's not Erin Andrews, but it's the other blonde sportscaster girl. She's going to be, I guess, co-hosting with Nick.
Was it the one who was, like, co-hosting the event in LA?
Yeah.
What's her name? She does Alex Flanagan?
Yeah, Alex Flanagan. Okay. Yeah, that was your prize. You would get to co-host a show with Alex Flanagan on AOL Sports. So it'll be Nick and Alex.
Huh, all right.
So, yeah, so congratulations to Nick. And, yeah, if you want to see my submission, you can either check CosPod on Twitter or go to AOL. And I'm still up there. So I not only was I the Zaxby's Employee of the Month in October, but in November I was one of the 50 best unsigned sportscasters, apparently. And these submissions are crazy. Like, some of them were really professional. Some people had studio time. Some people were, like, there was this one guy that was just outside of an arena, and you could tell he didn't have access to the arena. And it was like close to midnight. That's what it looked like. And he's just like, this is Josh, whatever his name is. This is Josh Williams outside of MetLife Field. And I'm like, I'm looking around waiting for the cops to come get this guy for trespassing. So there was some good ones. There was some crazy ones, like if you look at the AOL page, the girl next to me is Kendall Fisher. She does her whole submission in bed.
Oh.
And so it's interesting because she's a blonde girl. And she's like, hey, everybody, it's time to get in bed and talk about sports.
Oh.
I'm like, okay. But maybe if I had sexed up my submission a little bit.
That's interesting. That's a unique way of approaching this contest.
Yeah, I mean, I respect it because, like, a lot of these a lot of these women are like, don't look at me like an object. And she's like, no, I'm a cute girl. I'm going to use what I got. And if it helps me advance, so be it. So, yeah, but I got a lot of feedback on my video and people I hadn't heard from in a while that saw it, old classmates and teachers. So thanks to everybody that supported me on that and gave me feedback. But, yeah, if you're wondering, I'm not bitter. I'm not upset or anything like that. But and in fact, to the opposite, I feel good. I think I've been talking to some people behind the scenes and I've been talking to our fellow black podcast, Marcus, while you were away. And I might have some things in the works for 2015.
Good, good. Sadly, my biggest contribution to your video was, wow, he looks like Xavier Woods with that mustache.
Yeah, I don't know. Well, why you always got to try to bring me down, Marcus?
What? What's wrong with Xavier Woods, huh? It's a new day.
What is it wrong with Xavier Woods right now?
He's a smart, educated black man.
You wouldn't know that by watching TV.
Yeah. Well, not yet. Not yet. Slow build.
And what was with your boy Biggie Langston, man? Now that he's got his vignette.
Yeah, I saw an interview they did at a local radio station in the Virginia area, I guess wherever Raw was on Monday. And
I think it was outside of Roanoke.
Roanoke, yeah. So you can tell just they have chemistry. They're all good friends. You can just tell by watching on camera. They really didn't address too much about the new group, just that they hinted that the new video would be dropping on Monday with Biggie. And that was it. But you can tell those three really get along well. So whatever they do, I hope it works out for them. I'm nervous.
Yeah. Like my hope is that this is all just kind of a setup for a swerve. But knowing the history of this company, I think they're going to play it straight, which to me is the worst thing you could do with this group.
Yeah. I mean, I don't need to have the whole gospel James Brown gimmick. I'm good on that. But
like, I would love it if they came out on Raw and had the whole gospel thing and the choir and got the crowd clapping, and then they were just like, you think we really act like this? And just flipped it on everybody, like, and became these heels to the audience, but they would be like the biggest baby faces to me.
I would like that. That'd be better than them shucking and jiving around and you know, because I was talking to John Murray about this over the weekend, and I...
Yeah, we'll have to get John back on.
Yeah, yeah. And I was, hey, look, you know, there's always the NBC Universal connection. We can get Preachers of L.A. guest hosting, and maybe one of those guys can manage the new day.
Oh, you know who would be great to bring that group out? Remember the clip of that preacher like, I'm not gay no more!
Yes.
I want that guy. Like, I'm not gay. I don't like men's no more. Oh yeah, but we'll see what destination that angle takes in the WWE. But Marcus, America's second favorite wrestling promotion has a new destination.
PWG has a new home on TV?
No, not PWG.
Oh, ROH has a new deal?
No, not ROH.
Lucha Underground. They're moving up to a real station.
They may be the second favorite organization in the country right now because they have the most interesting show. But I'm talking about TNA, Marcus. They are moving from Spike to Destination America.
Oof.
Do you get Destination America out in LA?
Do I? I've watched programming on Destination America.
Really? Okay. See, we have it in Virginia, but it's on a different cable package. So we don't have that package in the Milton household. But let me know about Destination America and their fine programming.
So there's, as I'm talking to you, I'm going to try to pull up on my station now to see what exactly is on Destination America at the moment. There are two things that I remember watching on Destination America. One was this series on Las Vegas. Surprise, surprise. And basically the series was basically exposing people who have tried to like sort of cheat the system in Vegas. And they had all these stories about guys who would try to either, you know, rig blackjack games or try to rig slot machines. And it was interesting just to hear from all these guys who were either convicted or got in trouble with the law and the casinos on how they tried to cheat the system. The other thing I remember watching on Destination America was some Disney special. on, I think, one of the Disney parks. Surprise, surprise there. So outside of that, not really a channel that I frequent too often.
Now, apparently they've got some shows like the fast food shows and food shows, and I get into that. I watch the Food Network every now and then, and Diners, Drive-Ins, and Dives, and Man vs. Food. I like shows like that. But apparently their other biggest show right now before Impact joins the roster is Hillbilly Blood. And the only reason I know about Hillbilly Blood is because I was watching Dan Le Batard on Highly Questionable the other day. Mm-hmm. And you know how they show the crazy clips, like, will you watch it?
Yeah.
They had a clip of this hillbilly dude who had a squirrel as a pet.
Oh, jeez.
And this whole time he's talking to the squirrel, he's got the squirrel on this little leash, and he's driving down the street, and they're playing this dramatic music as the squirrel hops from the man's shoulder onto the window, and it's like, is the squirrel going to jump out of the moving car?
So this is your new home for TNA, huh?
That's the new home for TNA. So they'll obviously be the biggest show on this network, and apparently Discovery America, Destination America, who's part of the Discovery Channel family of networks, they're going to put a big push behind TNA and maybe branch out to some other programming. They've got the network support, but we've seen this before, Marcus. They've had the support of Spike TV for so many years. If the program doesn't change, I don't see anything really being any different, especially when you got a network that less people can watch.
Yeah, we're almost talking half the homes that were compared to Spike.
And Spike wasn't even really, I mean, Spike's not the biggest cable network out there.
No, but they're pretty close to 100 million. They're up there. But, you know, in terms of, like, you know, I view cable networks as, I've spent a lot of time in hotels the last 2 weeks. If I can get you in my hotel room, you're a pretty big network. I wasn't getting Spike, and I was in 3 different hotel rooms in the last 2 weeks. I didn't have Spike in any of them, so.
Yeah,
and, you get your, you know, traditional TBS, TNT, USA, something along those lines, so.
And that's still surprising to me because, yeah, we get Spike down here. We've got Spike since it was, the Nashville Network and all that other stuff, all its many incarnations. But, in a lot of places in the country, Spike is still not available. And that problem is even more magnified when you go to a network like Destination America.
Yeah, it's been around for 2 years now. It was used to be Planet Green. which I had never watched before. I had never heard of Planet Green before.
That'd be a good network to be on if they still had Rob Van Dam.
Yeah, that's a different kind of green. So yeah, they've been around for 2 years as this new branded network, and currently on the network for me is a show called A Haunting, which is like a ghost mystery type deal. And the next show that comes on is America's Haunted Houses. So I'm sensing a theme for tonight. Followed by Boogeyman.
Is it Marty Wright?
No, it's not. Unfortunately,
I'm the Boogeyman. I'm going to get you. Like, I wonder where he went.
Yeah. But yeah. So this programming is right on cue. Tomorrow morning, we had a special on Disney's Animal Kingdom, followed by a special on Walt Disney World Resort Hotels. So they do some travel stuff, some food stuff, some, you know, I think they're still trying to figure out their identity.
Which could be a problem, because I think that was a problem for Spike TV for a lot of years. Like, I still don't think they've got their identity as a network, because if you remember for a while, they were the Man Network where they had Mansers and they did a lot of shows. Like, they had the video game show that used to come on after Impact every week. They've had MMA on the network. Now it's like cops and movies. So I don't think Spike knows what they are.
Yeah.
And Destination America, like, they seem like a bootleg travel channel or a bootleg food network.
That's accurate. Well, at least it's in HD. That's a plus. If it wasn't in HD, that'd be, you know, I wouldn't give TNA a chance. But I get it in HD, so that's half the battle. So you don't get it. Are you going to upgrade your cable system to get it?
I don't think so. I think what the, and here's a peek behind the curtain for all you Review and Impact fans. We may be back next season or in January, and I think with the solution, because obviously they don't get Destination America up in Canada just yet, John and I and maybe Wei are going to record the shows on Thursday. If Wednesday is still the night for TNA, we're just going to record the shows Thursday and watch the show online.
Okay.
So that saves me at least $20 or $25 on my cable bill every month. And, you know, like I got a wait and see attitude with this. You know, obviously I support TNA and I hope they do well, just for not only as a fan, but for somebody that loves wrestling and the business. It makes the industry better if TNA is healthy. So I'll hold my opinion for a while, see how they do. They've got the talent. They've never had a problem with the in-ring talent, but it's a matter of, can creative put them in a spot that is different? Like Lucha Underground, 4 episodes in, man, they have already kind of changed the game in terms of presentation for a wrestling show. And, you know, I don't need TNA to go that far, but they do need to be different from the WWE.
What about going back to, or going to a venue that's the size of Lucha Underground, or like the old WCW Worldwide days, where it's the intimate crowd, even smaller than the Impact Zone, just maybe half the size of the Impact Zone, and doing that approach as opposed to trying to book these arenas where they're obviously empty?
Yeah, that wouldn't be the worst thing. I mean, I'd still leave the option to go to different venues for your 4 pay-per-views a year. But for the most part, they need one location. I think they need to eliminate the house shows because they're actually losing money on those things. And, you know, as we've seen with NXT, having a small venue isn't the worst thing. If you can fill it up, if you can keep the crowd invested, you know, it can be a good thing.
And has there been any word about when they're actually rolling out on the new channel?
As of yet, no. All we know is January 2015. So that I don't know if that'll be, you know, the first week or the second week, but it should be interesting, because I think that first show on Destination America, they've got a choice to make, whether they reintroduce themselves to the audience or introduce themselves in some cases, you know, in terms of, this is who we are, these are our major characters, these are, you know, our champions, so on and so forth, or do they just pick it up like nothing ever happened? I think that you've got to take a step back and introduce stuff before you can go forward. So that'd be interesting.
I would even just strip all the titles, start fresh.
Really?
Yeah. Because you're talking about a 6-week layoff on TV, and if you talked about actual taping time, you're talking about, when were these tapings in Bethlehem? September?
Yeah, I think the first Bethlehem taping was in late August, so yeah.
October, November, December. You're talking about basically a 4-month layoff from the ring, from actual action. Why not just start fresh? You're only talking about, what, 3 titles?
Just be like, all the champions did not defend within 90 days, so they all got stripped.
Or 4 titles, champion, tag, X division, knockouts.
Yeah. That wouldn't be the worst idea. It'll be interesting to see what they would do with that. My biggest thing, though, is much like we've seen with Lucha Underground, they've taken a great pain and they've paced the show in terms of, these are our characters, and they don't just throw you a bunch of matches. And while TNA has some good in-ring talent, I'd like to see more vignettes. I'd like to see more setup of, you know, some of the stronger characters. Like, this is Bobby Lashley. This is MVP. This is Bobby Roode. This is EC3. And give the audience some background before just jumping into, you know, here's 7 matches on one show.
As we like to do on the show, I'm on the TNA website looking at the current roster of guys. They are due for an update because I think some of these guys are not currently wrestling. Like Sonata, he's done, right? Or is he still wrestling?
He hasn't been on since Bound for Glory.
Okay, so there's a few guys who haven't been on since Bound for Glory, like all the Japan guys, right?
Yeah, so it'll be interesting to see who, because, you know, not only do you have those guys that have been inactive, but you've got contracts like Gail Kim, like Bully Ray, that need to be hashed out between now and January. So are we going to see a much different roster, because they're not going to get the money that Spike put into this show at Destination America? So are they going to have to make some big time cuts?
I think so. I mean, just in terms of active wrestlers who are just focusing on the males for a second, it's got to be maybe a dozen. Like, Rhino's listed as an active guy. Is he still active?
Rhino hasn't been on since...
It's the New York tapings, right?
Yeah. Well, no, because the final New York show was the one where they put Dixie through the table, right?
No, that was like one of the... No, that was like in the middle of the tapings.
Okay, yeah, you're right. You're right. So, yeah, he stuck around after that, but he wasn't in Bethlehem. Tommy Dreamer was in Bethlehem, and Devon, for some reason, was in Bethlehem.
That's right. Yeah, so, I mean, all these guys are listed as quote-unquote active wrestlers, but... You know, Garrett Bischoff. When's Garrett Bischoff been on TV
Garrett
last time?
Bischoff, wow.
So if you factor out these guys,
Garrett Bischoff hasn't wrestled a match since Aces and Ace broke up.
Wow. He's still active according to TNA.
Garrett Bischoff hadn't wrestled since his daddy was with the company.
Oh. Matt Hardy. Matt Hardy, no, he's still around, right?
Yeah, okay. Yeah, because they're the number one contenders for the tag team title.
That's right. So, yeah, they need bodies, you know. First and foremost, they just need new faces so we don't see the same combination of matches that we've been getting over the last few weeks.
Yeah, and your X Division is a great place for that because there's a lot of independent talent that you can bring in for a set of tapings that you don't have to sign to big contracts, but you can work them in and add them into different matches. And if they're good, you can bring them back. If they don't work out, then you didn't put this huge financial investment into them.
Gotcha. Bring it back.
Yeah, that's how we got Sam Shaw. Do you really want to bring that back, Marcus?
Good point.
Has anybody, I'm trying to think, has anybody from Gut Check other than Sam Shaw stuck around? Like Joey Ryan's gone, Taylor Hendricks.
I was going to say, Brian Cage and Joey Ryan are probably the...
The first guy. Who was the guy from Canada that had the visa problems? He hadn't been back?
Oh, yeah.
Like Alex something or other.
Yeah, the rejects have been doing better than the guys who actually made the TNA roster. I mean, I would love to have Joey Ryan back from TNA. I don't know if he would want to do that, but, you know, he'd be interesting.
Yeah, he's a guy that I could also see in Lucha Underground. I think he'd fit in well with them.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of guys like Willie Mack. I think he could do well in that promotion. Like, I'm actually really excited about Lucha Underground. Like, another behind the scenes, we may do a joint review where we do, since both shows currently air on Wednesday, we may talk about both shows on a review and Impact.
Mm.
So it'll be a bigger value for the customers out there that are paying $0 for this podcast every week.
Yeah, the ones who complain about, I don't like all the banter, just get to the review. Shut up. shut up.
Like, that's why they have a skip button,
yeah,
a fast forward button.
I don't get people who complain about that stuff.
Yeah, like, and are you complaining to JR about this too? Because he spends 30 minutes before.
Listen, would you rather have John and Weish talk about why your belt might have poop residue, or JR show ads about penis extensions and whatever else he's shilling on
low
his podcast?
Testosterone.
Yeah.
This is good old JR. You're not feeling like you used to? Well, you got low testosterone. This new pill can make you feel like a horse in no time, by God.
Yeah, so just quiet down, people.
So that's TNA. A little bit of interesting side note here, Marcus, because obviously it's just you and me this week. We were supposed to talk to wrestling artist Rob Schamberger this week.
That's right.
And here's what happened, people. Rob called at 4:30 when we were scheduled to do the interview, and I'm ready to go, and I'm talking him up. Like, hey, Rob, how you doing? Marcus is out in Vegas at the time. And I'm like checking in because Marcus was trying to see if he could get a legit Wi-Fi connection at the hotel, and it wasn't working out. So I'm like, cool, no problem, man. I got this. It's just going to be me and Rob. Little did I know that my computer updated, and where there once was a call recorder for Skype, it was not here when I clicked on my program. And so I'm sitting there, I'm like, And Rob is like, is everything okay? I'm like, yeah, Rob, everything's good, man. As I'm going through each and every folder looking for this call recorder. And so finally I reinstall it. I tell him, hey, man, I'm going to restart Skype, but I'll call you back in just a second. So I restart Skype, call him back, expecting the call recorder to pop up. Nothing. So then now I'm going into MacGyver mode. I'm like, okay, let's see. Can I do it through GarageBand? No. Can I do it through Audacity? No. I was bringing up programs I'd never even used, or I had like this trial for a recorder that they only recorded 5 minutes at a time. And I'm like, I'm like, okay, if I do the interview in 5 minute chunks, but keep it flowing that he won't even know what I'm doing, I could do it that way, but that didn't work either. And so then finally, after about 20 minutes, I was like, Rob, sorry that we're taking up so much of your time, but it's not working. Marcus usually records the shows, and he's unavailable at the moment. So bad news is we didn't get the interview this week, but good news is next week we are scheduled to have two interviews for you, Rob Schamberger and Steve Glenwick from Tag Me a Date. So we'll have Rob, the wrestling artist, and Steve from Tag Me a Date. But yeah, man, I was like, huh, what am I going to do? And the funny part is Rob's online the whole time when I'm trying to figure this out. And so, like, I'm trying to figure the thing out, but at the same time, I'm trying to be professional and keep up the reputation of the Kings of Sport podcast. So I'm just like the first time it messes up, I'm like, okay, Rob, just a couple things I need to adjust here. Don't worry, we're going to get you on in just a second. Then the second time, Rob, I'm still trying to figure things out here. Bear with me 1 second. I appreciate your time. Let me figure this out. By the time we get to the third and fourth time, I'm like, like, all Rob is hearing is a bunch of sighs and muted cuss words. Finally, I'm like, hey, man. Like, you remember that scene in the Kings of Comedy where Cedric is like the president? If the president was black, he'd be like telling the other dignitaries, like, man, tell him I ain't got it. I mean, I could put a piece on it, a portion, something. I'm like, Rob, we ain't got it, man.
You've had quite the week in podcasting, because I heard on Review and Impact, John Pollitt, a little annoyed that you showed up late. Welcome to my world, John.
I fell asleep at the end of Impact, so I missed the final 15 minutes of TNA on Spike, not counting shows. But yeah, man, I fell asleep, and I woke up. We usually do the show at 11:30, 11:35, somewhere around there. I woke up at 11:40, so it obviously took me, you know, a couple minutes to get my bearings, and I hopped on Skype about 11:45, 11:50, and John was like, man, I was just about to hang up and do the show by myself. So, but yeah, so it was very interesting. But yeah, so I think this has been a crazy week for us in terms of podcasting, but next week will make up for it, because hopefully we'll have Rob and Steve on, as well as Sierra. I'm still trying to reach out to Sierra to come on the show and all of our usual segments. And I've been stocking up like the last 2 or 3 weeks. People have been sending me segment 4 topic ideas. Mm-hmm. And then today on the Dan Le Batard show, I heard a story and I was like, no way is this true. So let me just say, I'm not going to spoil it, but next week I'm going to research it, and it is the most interesting story of a deadbeat dad you'll ever hear, and I do mean a deadbeat dad. How's that for a tease?
I don't know the story, so that's good.
So, yeah, we'll get into that. We did want to touch on a little bit of sports this week in the form of our picks challenge, Marcus. Every week, Marcus and I pick NFL games, and even though Marcus was out of the country at points last...
I'll be tight about that, yeah.
Last week, yeah, we'll talk about your world traveling here in a second. But first, we'll get into our picks. And what was our record last week, Marcus, head-to-head? And what's the overall standing?
2 weeks now, because we didn't do week 10. So week 10, we both went 3-2. Week 11, I went 2-3, and you went 3-2. So
Well.
Overall, I'm 32-23, and you're 30-25.
So I'm catching up. Slowly but surely. So yeah, I'm catching up. Each week we do 4 of the Sunday games and 1 of the we do the Monday night game. This week we've got 2 Monday night games though, Marcus, because of Mother Nature.
Yeah, that's been wow. I mean, it's November, people, or actually it's November, Mother Nature. What are you doing?
she doesn't want to watch the Jets play either.
How dare you?
Bam. So let's pick some games, Marcus.
All right.
All right. Let's start off with your neck of the woods, out in San Francisco, where the 49ers will take on the dysfunctional team known as the Washington Redskins. What's the spread on that?
49ers -9.5.
Really?
Yep.
Wow.
When you surprise you, that it would be higher?
I think that's a little high.
Have you seen? Did you see the Redskins last week?
I think that's a little high. Like, I think this is the type of game that could be a trap for the 49ers. I really think that, like, next week they got the big game with the Seahawks on Thanksgiving, I think.
The Niners, yes.
Yeah, so this is
a short week for them.
Yeah, short week. They're playing a team that hadn't been good. They've underperformed all year. They're coming off of this chaos with I've never seen a coach go at a quarterback the way Jay Gruden went at a RG3 this past week.
Oh, like, in the media?
I've never seen a coach in the media talk about his quarterback like that. And then you had DeSean Jackson put on his Instagram, "You can't do epic bleep with basic people." Like, that. That's the Redskins in a nutshell, man. You know what? I am going to go with, for the reasons I stated, I'm not saying the Redskins are a better team. Obviously, they're not. But I think that this could be a trap game. And even if the 49ers win, I don't see it being that big. I'm going to go with the Redskins.
49ers.
All right. Let's go with, big-time rivalry in the NFC East. Cowboys at the Giants.
Cowboys -3.5.
Cowboys on the road. You got Eli and you got Tony Romo. Who you going with?
Cowboys coming off a bye week, I believe. Cowboys who are also 4-0 on the road, which is kind of
surprising.
Yeah,
Cowboys won the bye last week.
Three games at home. Give me the Cowboys.
All right, Marcus is taking the Cowboys, and I am going to roll with Cowboys have more to lose in this situation. Eli is Eli. That team is that team. Give me the Cowboys, too.
All right.
All right, next up, we have the Packers and the Vikings, and next week we'll definitely get into all the turmoil swirling around the Vikings and Adrian Peterson. And real quick, Marcus, like, this is something that this decision is ruling. Like, there are very few times I get actively angry at leagues and at commissioners. And, you know, obviously I'm not supporting what Adrian Peterson did, but this ruling, to me, it makes no sense, and it pisses me off.
I was very surprised at the ruling. I'll just leave it at that.
Yeah, so we'll get into that next week because finally, who's your boy, DeMaurice Smith?
Yes.
Finally, he showed some backbone, and I'll get into that next week, man. What's that tweet Bully Ray sent out? If the general doesn't know where he's leading, the war is lost and the troops end up dead?
Something like that.
Something like that. I'm paraphrasing Bully Ray. But, yeah, that's how I felt about DeMaurice Smith for – a lot of this stuff with Roger Goodell, and we'll get into that, man. We'll get into that next week. Packers, Vikings, what's the line?
Packers -9.5 on the road.
You know what? You can give me Packers -19.5, and I still go with Green Bay.
Wow. Home game.
I mean, it is a rivalry game, and they do have the Patriots next week, but, I mean, Aaron Rodgers has just been dialed in the last few weeks.
Yeah. Give me the Vikings. I'll take the Vikings.
Marcus with the sneaky upset. All right, so that's three games on Sunday. And finally, let's go with You know what? Let's go Browns and Falcons.
All right. Let's see. Falcons minus three.
Falcons minus three. And you know what, Marcus? I'm as much as you deride my Falcons.
Go ahead. Say it. First place Atlanta Falcons.
What do Falcons do, Marcus? All this time I told you I believe in Mike Smith. I believe in Matty Ice. Things are turning around, Marcus.
You believe in a 4-6 team?
We going to finish at least 8-8 and win this division outright.
You know who else is 4-6? The Rams, all right? So let's calm down.
Hey, the record doesn't...
The Vikings are 4-6. So let's put some, you know... I'm not buying this yet.
Hey, the record doesn't matter so much as where you are. It's like that old real estate thing, man. Location, location, location. And they live in a crappy division right now.
A very crappy division.
I've been disappointed as a Falcons fan. Imagine how pissed you'd have to be right now as a Saints fan. Yeah, Drew Brees and Jimmy Graham, man.
That's been a weird team.
So, what was the line again?
Falcons minus three.
Falcons minus three. And coincidentally, every time I picked the Falcons the last 3 weeks, I think they've paid off for me. So I think I'm going to go with them again and go with the Falcons.
Give me the Browns and Josh Gordon.
All right. You can have the Browns and Josh Gordon. And let's go with the Monday night game. We're going to go with the Jets and the Bills. And where they're playing?
Detroit.
They're playing in Detroit. Who you got?
It's Buffalo minus three.
Does this count as a road game for the Bills?
Home game.
As I'm saying, they're the home team, but they're playing in Detroit, so that doesn't those home and away stats kind of throw them out the window?
Nah, neutral site.
I don't know. Have you ever been to Detroit?
No.
Not that neutral. That's all I'm going to say about that, man. There's a reason RoboCop was based and set in Detroit. Because they need super cops. Bills obviously have a better record.
Yeah.
Coming off of a game they probably should have won against Miami. But I got to say, there's something like Vic is not the type of quarterback you can build a franchise around, but he's a good fit for this team as they're currently constructed, and he probably should have been starting earlier. So I'm gonna go with my 757 homeboy and go with the Jets.
I'll take the Jets.
Oh, so you got faith now in this season?
Nah, it's more about the Lions haven't practiced all week because of the snow, and they haven't played since last Thursday. So
the Bills, they haven't been able to get out of the house.
Yeah, they just not gonna be ready.
That's terrible though, man. Like for real, I know these are professional athletes, but how you gonna make somebody play when they haven't even practiced all week?
I mean, you got to play the game. You can't really, reschedule it at this point. So,
well, just tack it on, because this game doesn't matter. Let's be real with it. They should just tack it on instead of the Pro Bowl, just play the Jets and the Bills.
No, I mean, all the games matter when you talked about the draft, though. There's no lottery, so you get slotted by your record. So,
yeah, that's a point. Yeah, you guys still in the Jameis Winston sweepstakes.
Nope.
You don't want those problems?
Nope.
Can you imagine Jameis Winston and Rex Ryan on the same team?
That's not going to happen because one won't be there.
One won't be there.
Either Red to Jameis. One or two.
Somebody's getting fired. I said that on the Atomic Podcast, man. Either Idzik or Rex has got to go.
Or both.
But yeah, so those are our picks, our four. Sunday games, we got the Redskins, the Niners, the Cowboys at the Giants, Packers at the Vikings, and Browns at the Georgia Dome. And then our Monday night game is the Jets at the Bills. The Jets at the Bills.
The Jets at the Bills in Detroit.
In Detroit, yeah. That was tripping me up a little bit. And that'll be we got two Monday night games going on pretty much the same time because the Ravens and Saints will be going on at the regular time.
Yeah, there's a 90-minute difference in the two.
Yeah, so What channel is the Jets Bills going to be broadcast on?
Looks like CBS is going to pick it up.
Okay.
But I'm not sure if that's just local affiliates. That might just be the local Detroit, not Detroit, the New York and Buffalo market.
Yeah, I was going to say that'd be interesting, but there's probably, ESPN's probably got something with Monday Night Football.
Yeah.
They can't have national competition with that game.
I was going to air on Sunday ticket only.
Okay, yeah, that makes sense, because the NFL wouldn't want to cannibalize their own product.
Yeah, no, especially not what should be an interesting game between the Saints and the Ravens.
That would be interesting, though, if somebody was just like, hey, man, screw it, we putting this on, and Roger Goodell, put me on your secret exempt list.
Yeah.
I ain't scared. So those are our picks for this week's games. Should be interesting. You can always follow along with our picks at the Facebook page, facebook.com/kingsofsport. Before we get out of here, Marcus, we mentioned you were traveling all around the world, you know, doing your best Carmen San Diego impression. Tell us about your trip.
Yeah, so since the last time we talked, it's been a few days in New York. New York was pretty uneventful. Got to see my family briefly, which was good. Including my grandmother, who has a birthday on Saturday.
Oh, happy birthday, Nana.
Yeah.
Nana Vandenberg.
That's what I call her. Yeah. So I did that. And from New York, I went up to Toronto for a few days, where I got to, went to my first Maple Leafs game. And got to see some hockey finally this season. Okay. And then next night, I went to Raptors Bulls, which was the first TNT regular season game Toronto's had, I think, in a decade. And actually, I think the last time Derrick Rose played was in that game almost 2 weeks ago now. So,
oh, Derrick Rose.
We'll have to talk about Derrick Rose, too, he keeps talking, and he should probably stop talking.
Hey, Marcus, he's trying to make sure he can be at his kid's PTA meeting in 20 years.
Yeah, sure.
Show some social respect.
Sure. But in Toronto, I got to hang out. I went by the Fight Network to see John Way, which was cool.
Did you see Corey also?
No, Corey was in San Antonio covering a fight. I missed Corey.
Okay. So how were John and Way doing?
They're good. Way gave me the tour of the studio, and I got to sit in on John filming Fight News Now Extra. He did one of his spots. So it was good. Good to see them. I got to see
that's cool. Like, for anybody that's never been there, I had a chance to go up there a couple of years ago and do a review of Raw Live. Now,
did you see the old building or the new building?
Did you have to go up like a million stairs?
Sorta. It was in Liberty Village. It was like this, in a shopping center almost type
yeah.
area.
Yeah. And
okay.
And there was, like, a lot of places that, like, room for rent.
Yes.
Or space for rent. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
So, yeah, it was the same building. And it was myself, John Way, and Damian Abraham doing that show that night. And it was very, like, it's got to be a great place to work. Not only the atmosphere of being in the city like that, but to have a channel that's just kind of specifically devoted to MMA and boxing and wrestling. Like, that's a pretty cool gig.
Now, how did all four of you fit in that tiny-ass studio?
Oh, man, let me tell you, it was crazy because not only was it the four of us, but there were drinks involved. Like, mm-hmm. We had a big old cooler full of beer because we watched Raw that night. And there were also some greenery around, and I'm not talking about potted plants.
Huh.
Or maybe I am. But, yeah, so it was John, Wade, Damian, and myself, and we talked for hours and more hours. I think you can find that show up in the archives, but we literally could have gone probably another 30 minutes if it wasn't like 2 o'clock in the morning. And if our ride, my girlfriend at the time went up there with me to go see that. And like, if he didn't have to get back, we probably would have talked for another hour.
Yeah. That was also the night of the Lawler heart attack, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Cause that like, we were getting ready for all these jokes and fun and games. And then Jerry Lawler has a heart attack. And it's like, oh, okay. Other than that, Mrs. Lincoln, how'd you enjoy the play?
Yeah.
But yeah, so you had a good time in Toronto, and then you went from Toronto to Vegas?
So I left Toronto Friday, and on Friday I found out my job said, hey, there's this UFC press conference that's going on.
A big announcement, Marcus. You
got to
be there.
Yeah, our lead MMA guy is actually covering the Pacquiao fight, so he wasn't around. And I was already going to Vegas anyways on Tuesday night for some wedding stuff. Well, I had a legit purpose there.
Wedding stuff.
How dare you?
Haven't you ever heard of phones and computers, Marcus? You don't have to be at the place you're doing business.
You can't taste food over the phone.
Someday.
Yeah, not yet. So they said, hey, how about you go to Vegas and cover this thing? So originally I was going to drive out Monday morning, but if you live in Los Angeles, you realize why that might be a bad move. So I left Sunday. So I was home for a day, full day. Had enough time to do laundry, unpack and repack, and I left again Sunday for Las Vegas. Monday was the UFC press conference, and yeah. So we get there, and on the press release, it was advertised as media will have one-on-one fighter access to guys, and they were hyping this big announcement. So, of course, we get there, and the first thing we learned about was there was going to be no media scrum after the press conference. So, already that's a disappointment, because part of the reason why it was an interesting presser is because they had 14 fighters there, 10 of which are probably the biggest stars in UFC. I mean, Anderson Silva, Ronda Rousey, John Jones, Cormier, Chris Weidman, Machida, all these guys are there, but there is no access to them outside of the hour-long Q&A portion of the presser. But as a journalist, you really don't want to give up your question in a public domain like that, because it's fair game for anyone at that point. So that's why usually you try to do your questions individually, so you can, you know, sort of keep that answer to yourself. So found out there was no interview access. That was fine. Dana does his intro, blah, 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 blah. First question from the media. Dana, what's the big announcement? Dana goes, well, it didn't get done in time, so there's no big announcement. And I was like, oh, come on, really?
who said anything about a big announcement?
And after that, I think the media just sort of like, you know, either you had guys like myself who came in just for this, or you had people who were coming back from Mexico from UFC 181 who took a detour in Las Vegas for this press conference. And it really turned out to be just nothing more than some slides announcing what dates they're fighting in 2015. No location, just dates. So the actual press conference itself was pretty uneventful. I wrote about Conor McGregor because he was awesome as usual. He started just berating the division, and you know, his gimmick is great until he loses, and once he loses, he might have to readjust what he does. But until then, he can talk all the shit he wants to. And you also had the first time we've had Cormier and Jones on the same stage since their infamous fight, and they behaved for the most part. They had a back and forth, but nothing like the first time.
Nothing fell down this time.
Nah, because Dana was there. Dana was not that fly. And then Rousey was there with Kat Zingano, and nothing came out of that really. You know, she said she's excited about fighting in her hometown of Los Angeles in February. Will be her first time fighting in LA, I believe, as a professional. So yeah, that was an hour and a half of my life that was gone, and I was in Vegas a day early. So, and I spent the rest of the time in Vegas doing some wedding stuff. I had my food tasting and cake tasting at the venue. So,
not to get too racially charged in this particular segment, Marcus. So I guess we ain't got no segments, just one long show, but I will be in attendance, and much like Fuzzy Zeller asked Tiger Woods at the Masters dinner, Will there be fried chicken and greens at the wedding?
Not an option on our on the menu. There will be chicken, of course, because I am black. We are black. And the chicken was good. It was like a lemon pepper chicken, I believe.
Okay.
So there will be a chicken option. There is no fried chicken option on the menu, unfortunately.
No fried chicken option?
No.
What about an open bar situation, Marcus?
They will be open bar.
All right. We'll have to figure something out because we'll have to get at least one show in before you head off on your honeymoon from Vegas.
Listen, I've already suggested to my fiance I might be doing a show in the groomsman suite before the wedding. Because really, it's going to take me 20 minutes to get dressed. When am I supposed to do the other 2 hours?
Be exclusive. Kings of Sport at the Vanderburg nuptials.
Because that way we can have my best man on the podcast who's known me since high school.
Then we get the good dirt.
Yeah, yeah.
So he knew you back when you had nappy hair.
Yes, he did. Since 8th grade, middle school. And then another one of my groomsmen, also from middle school and high school. And then the third guy is my buddy from college in New York, so...
Okay. Is Chris Weidman not going to be at the wedding?
No Chris Weidman at the wedding, no.
Man, no Chris Weidman and no Alfred Cunawa.
No Alfred Cunawa. No. But I had to, like, apologize. I didn't have to apologize, but I was joking with John about, like, seriously, we don't know what Alfred's up to. So that whole tweet he sent John was a surprise to us, so.
Yeah, that was hilarious. But yeah, we're still gonna see if he comes on for show 100.
I think he will.
The invitation is out there.
No, it's not. We haven't invited him. I mean, not formally.
Oh, no, yeah, not formally. We just kind of we talked about it on air, which
I don't think he listens anymore.
he's like going through his iTunes favorites. Kings of Sport, delete.
Yeah, he's already unfollowed me on Twitter, so I'm pretty sure he stopped listening.
I think he might still follow me on Twitter.
We're still Facebook friends, though.
So. Okay, yeah, we're Facebook friends too. So, and he's been less active on Facebook too, though.
He has been. And full disclosure, when. There was those moments on our Facebook page, the Kings of Sport, where you would get all these random stupid ass updates. That was usually Alfred. So he's not afraid of updating Facebook, but he's been quiet.
Yeah, nasty nose.
Yeah, nasty nose. That was all Alfred. Surprise.
Yeah. So that's the update on that. But next week's gonna be a big show, Marcus. It'll be our pre-Thanksgiving episode.
Which will probably come out on Thanksgiving, though, right?
Yeah. So I think what we might do to make the show even bigger, because this show's going to be a little bit shorter. Next week will probably be long because we've got two guests, maybe three if Sierra joins us. We're going to have our regular segments. I've got some big segment four stories in the works. I think we might do some audience participation and open it up to the Facebook page. What is the thing or things or person or people you're most thankful for in sports for this year?
All right.
We'll put something up on the Facebook page and let everybody chime in with their answers.
This show's already at an hour, so that's a good length for them, for the people.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, you get what you pay for, people.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm one of the 50 greatest unsigned sportscasters in America, man. My time is money.
I'm just a dude, so...
And I'm telling you, Marcus, like one of these days, I'm going to have to talk to you about this because I didn't even know Yahoo Sports had an office in Toronto. I might have to holler at you about that, man. See if you can pull some strings.
They share the same building as the UFC Canada office as well.
Really?
Yeah.
That's crazy. But yeah, so in case I ever have another Canadian girlfriend, I'll have a job at least.
Maybe you should focus on someone in the States. Oh, by the way, I was at the Raptors game at the Air Canada Center, and I saw one of the concessions was the Smoke, the poutine place you talking about?
Oh, yeah, Smokes. Yeah.
Didn't try it, but I saw it. Yeah,
because you're lactose intolerant.
Yeah.
But yeah, man, the Smokes is, they're doing big business. So, yeah. Oh, I just saw another story come across. I'm going to have to talk about next week, man, with Papa John's and the 76ers.
I think I saw that. Something about half off or something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, we might have to get into that. But then, yeah, there's a lot of big stuff we got planned for next week again. Wrestling artist Rob Scherenberger, as well as Steve Glenwick, founder of Tag Me a Date.
And wrestling con artist. Oh, I'm sorry.
You're like, hey, man, he's a hustler. Yeah. Like, I should put up one of those TI vines and be like, Steve Glenwick says there's plenty of girls on tagmeadate.com. Where they at, though? But yeah, that's going to do it for this week. And Marcus, I'd like to congratulate you. We made it through the show without bringing up Bill Cosby, man. Congratulations.
Oh,
we did it,
man.
Bro. We did it. We did it. I will say, though, if you want to read a good article about Bill Cosby and this whole situation, a friend of the program, Bomani Jones, wrote an article for, was it Playboy.com?
Yes.
And it's up now. You can check that out. And it's a really well-written article that talks about fame and celebrity and the culture of celebrity worship. And it's a really interesting piece if you're interested in this whole crazy situation.
So, do you think he did it?
No comment. We out of time, Marcus. Like, we're running out of time.
Did you read the Janice Dickinson piece?
I didn't, man. I literally have actively been avoiding this story, man. Because it's like my thing is like, hey, I don't either. Yeah, hey, if he has done this, man, and it looks like he has, let him pay the penalty. But that ain't gonna stop me from watching Leonard Part 6. If anything's gonna stop me from watching Leonard Part 6, it's that Leonard Part 6 is a terrible movie.
Read the Janice Dickinson story, because that's when I was like, all right, look, this is just, I mean, he's allegedly a savage, if this is all true, because she, let's just say, at the time, it would be a no-go for most people, but for Bill Cosby, it was, he ignored the red light, let's just put it like that. So, it was a green light for Bill.
Yeah, I'm, you were out on that limb by yourself, Marcus. I'm not joining you on this tangent.
Calling now to discuss Bill Cosby.
On the next episode of The Kings of Sport, all Cosby all the time.
Yeah.
From picture pages to front pages.
And then they TV Land pulled Cosby Show reruns.
Yeah, and the show he had with NBC, apparently, that's a done deal. Like, let's just be real about it. His future is done, but to me, you can't erase, like, his legacy as a comic. Like, I'm separating that from, like, he's a despicable person if these things are true, but, like, you can't impeach the work.
Yeah, I mean, you can still watch The Cosby Show, right?
I think I can. Like, I can definitely still watch a stand-up. Cosby Show. I haven't watched an episode since all this broke, but to be honest, I wasn't really watching the Cosby Show that much before.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, like if an episode came on, and it was, especially if it was one of the funny ones with, like, when they had the singing stuff with the kids for the anniversary for the grandparents, I could watch that. But I mean, I can't watch any new stuff. Or he's also lost that moral high ground, whatever he had, to be the spokesperson or to be a leader, quote unquote, in the black community. Like, nah, man, ain't nobody trying to hear that, Bill.
Yeah.
Like, nah, man. Go on, Fat Albert. Go on, Ghost Dan.
Wow, Lou Ferrigno's wife is one of the people who accused him of this stuff. The Incredible Hulk.
You got to be a bad man to be messing with the Hulk's wife. Yeah, this dude has no chill.
And Lou Ferrigno told her to stay silent. There's a joke there about staying silent in Lou Ferrigno. I'm not going to go there.
Yeah, you. I don't know why you're trying to derail the show, Mark, because I was getting ready to wrap things up, and you're trying to pull people down this dark pathway. And I'm not, no, we're not going there, Marcus. We're going to rise above.
I had one last point. I'm trying to think what it was. Cosby Show. Oh, so I'm waiting for that Cosby Show episode where there's like a unintentional mention or innuendo about sex or anything that along those lines, and that made the point where I have to turn it off for good.
Well, people have already done it. Like people have been pulling clips of his old comedy routine.
Yeah, I saw that.
Spanish Fly.
Yeah,
and they've been playing that, and it takes on a whole different context. But yeah, I'm not gonna let you do that to me, America. Like I said, I've already made up my mind. Like either way, like he's done with me in terms of future stuff. But I'm, you know, I'm still gonna respect the material that he created before all this. Even including Ghost Dad. But no love for Ghost Dad.
Last thing about Mr. Cosby. Will this be a Joe Paterno situation where he pretty much dies of a broken heart? Not that I know any health conditions for Bill Cosby, but he is 77.
Yeah. I mean, either he going to die of a broken heart or he going to die of a broken neck when Camille finally snaps.
Camille said she's sticking by her man.
She's saying that to the public. But if you Bill at home, it's going to be a cold Thanksgiving, and I'm not talking about the weather, Marcus. This brother ain't getting no mashed potatoes, no turkey, man. He'd be lucky to get a turkey sandwich. It's gonna be a cold Thanksgiving at the Cosby home.
Yeah, so that's all the Cosby talked for today.
Oh, embattled,
survived.
Embattled Bill Cosby received standing ovations. That's a Yahoo headline.
Yeah, he had a comedy show on Friday night.
And he still went?
Of course, he didn't do it, allegedly.
Oh.
Keep getting them checks, Bill.
Then again, yeah, I mean, if he knows the end is coming, he better stack this up right quick. Catch this, because wasn't he at the New York Comedy Festival, too?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah, so like, yeah, he better pick up these checks, man. Wow.
Oh, by the way, one last sports thing. Pacquiao. Chris Algieri, who do you like?
Woo. Man, I like Algieri, but I hope Pacquiao wins only for the reason, man. I still hold out hope for that Floyd fight.
I don't.
Like, to me, that's the only interest in Manny Pacquiao for me now is if he ever fights Floyd. Like, I like it as a fighter. You know, he was great, but he's pretty much done to me.
Yeah, where I think Floyd, there's other interesting fights that Floyd can be matched up in with Pacquiao. It's pretty much
an interesting fight with his baby mama now. That's
oh no, which one?
Oh, one of them is his son talked to USA Today and said his father was a coward for putting his hands on his mother. Apparently, she like put him up to say that.
Oh, I did see that story. I'll leave my comments to myself on that one. And yep, you there?
Yeah.
Okay, it just dropped, but it's still recording.
It's still recording. See, we were going good. We were getting ready to wrap up and tell everybody to have a good weekend, but then you had to get into all your opinions about Bill Cosby and even Skype. Skype was like, no, I can't even do this, man.
Yeah,
Skype was looking at you like, bruh, come on, bruh.
Yeah, as I was saying before the call dropped, I'm not going to get into that story about Floyd because, yeah, I know the author who wrote it, so.
Oh, really?
Yeah. But you mentioned his son. And I've told the story in the podcast. I was at his son's graduation from elementary school.
Okay. Well, yeah, that's right, because the money man was there. Not Floyd Mayweather, but the literal money man.
Actually, no, this is a different son. This is Karan, it looks like, who's 14.
How many kids Floyd got?
Four, I believe. I think he has two boys and two girls, I want to say.
It's not nearly as many as I thought.
See, what's that supposed to mean? He's not Sean Kim. He's not Adrian Peterson.
I'm sure everybody out there listening thought Floyd had at least six kids.
He's got at least four. Four that we know of and four that he knows of. So, yeah, that's not the one that was at, I was at his graduation for, so. That's interesting, but in the ring, there's still fights that Mayweather could take that would draw interest. But for Pacquiao, really, it's Floyd and no one else at this point.
Yeah, like that. I will say though, man, I was mad Hopkins lost because I still wanted to see that Floyd B-Hop fight if it ever came to pass.
That was hard to watch. He got destroyed.
Yeah, man. Like it'd have been one thing if he just lost.
It was turning into like Rocky IV for a minute there in that final round.
Yeah, he got old real quick.
Yeah, I will break you.
Like I was waiting for Paulo's old trainer to look like Lou Gossett Jr. to throw in the towel, like, stop it!
Stop he's it! Killing he's him. Killing him! But now, at least Bernard survived the round, but it was...
But yeah, that dude is a beast. Like, he made a name for himself. If he didn't already have one.
Kovalev. Yeah, he had a name in the boxing circle, but not really in the mainstream circle. Because a lot of his fights were like on NBC Sports Network. So that was his biggest platform to date in terms of a fight. So he's really talented.
Yeah, so kudos to him and kudos to you for listening to the show. For those of people out there that want to follow your work, Marcus, and not be like Alfred Cunnell and follow you on Twitter, where can they do that?
You can follow me on Twitter and Instagram, Marco Will, MarcoWill, where today I posted a photo of some pretty racist Girl Scout cookie candy that they're selling. So you can check that out.
You always got to stir up racial stuff, Marcus.
Did you see the photo?
No.
It's on my Facebook page. You can be the judge. I'll let you judge on air.
All right, let me check this out real quick. While I'm looking, you can follow me on Twitter in the number 8, MOZAIK. You can follow the show, Cospod, KOS_POD. And hit us up on iTunes, Skype. Let's see. Huh. Yeah, it's a little racist.
And basketball? The basketball is the kicker.
Peanut butter monkeys.
It'll give you basketball skills if you eat these monkeys.
Let me tell you what, though. I don't know which is the more racist Girl Scout cookie. Is it peanut butter monkeys or is it Samoans? Why the cookie with the coconut got to be Samoan?
That's a good point.
So send us your tweets at the Kings of Sport, Cospod, KOS_POD, and let us know which one is more racist, peanut butter monkeys or Samoans, # racist Girl Scout cookies. I might actually do that later tonight. I might post both pictures on our Facebook page and open up the discussion. But that's going to do it again. Next week, big show coming up, tentatively scheduled to have Rob Schamberger as well as Steve Glenwick from Tag Me a Date and good friend of the program, Sierra Reed. So I think we're done here, Marcus.
I think we're done. It's a Friday night, so I'm tired.
Anybody's still listening after you dragged us into the Cosby conversation?
Hey, man, I'm just pointing out the facts.
See, that the media always wants the story.
Mm-hmm.
So that's it. Don't forget to go to the Facebook page and leave your comment for what figure in sports or what moment in sports or what team or anything of that nature you're most thankful for in 2014, and we will read that next week on the show as well. So, for Marcus Vandenberg, I am the Godfather, Nate Milton. I was trying to think of something clever right there, but it's late, and I'm still looking at this picture of the peanut butter monkeys. So,
I have thinking of a Cosby joke, but I couldn't think of anything.
No, I thought about it for a second, but I'm like, no, I'm not going to do that, Marcus.
Right.
You don't get to be the 50th greatest unsigned sportscaster in America by going for the cheap joke. That's Nate. That's Marcus. I'm Nate. See, it's late, man. And it's like 12:30.
You're now 51st.
Yeah, 51st. Then again, maybe if I was light skinned, I'd be like higher. I'd be like 25th.
I think so. White, you'd be 10th.
Oh yeah. If I tell you, man, if I was a white guy, I'd be Colin Cowherd. Like, if you took this talent and put it in a white package, boy, I'd be unstoppable. And let the angry tweets begin. So, for Marcus Vandenberg, I'm the Godfather Nate Milton. We'll see you next week. And you've been down with the Kings.
Well, that's all for this week's edition of the Kings of Sport. Be sure to come back next week for an all-new episode. You can leave feedback for the show on Twitter at KOS_POD or via Gmail at thekingsofsport@gmail.com. Don't forget to like and rate us on iTunes and tell a friend. The Kings of Sport is a production of the Mosaic Podcast Network.
Whether you like it or not, he's back. D-A-double-D-Y, that's X. Sharp as a tack, like I just left.